All right, we're rolling. What's up, Beer Mile podcast listeners? What's up, Beer Mile Nation? Thanks for tuning in. We're continuing down our path of the best of 2022 highlights. And of course, unsurprisingly, Neve Schulman came in as one of the most listened to episodes of 2022. Neve is the Catfish TV show host, millions of followers on the Instagrams and the TikToks. And you know what? He still found time to come over and hang out with your boys at the Beer Mile podcast because we're also big. You know, we're super famous. Our clout level's on cloud nine, just like Neve's is. No, I'm just kidding. That's a total lie. But Neve spent some time with us because he is also a runner outside of hosting the Catfish TV show. So we talk a little bit about him getting down to be a sub-3 marathoner, even just getting into running a little bit later in his life. And of course, we go behind the scenes of the Catfish TV show and he shares some stories that I have not heard him share elsewhere. So it's fun to get to know Neve. He's a super energetic dude and a great conversation and guest to have. If you want to listen to the full episode with Neve, go back to Beer Mile Podcast episode 86. There's also a link in the description of this episode to that full episode. We're just going to pull out some of the gems, some of the highlights from that episode, keep it short and sweet here. But Neve, awesome dude. We've been talking behind the scenes. We're still trying to figure out if we can get Neve to come and do a beer mile at the Beer Mile World Champs. Or he also suggested maybe we go do a wine mile at a winery that he is a partner in or an owner of out east. So more to come on collaboration with Neve Schulman. We're excited for it. And you know what Neve also talks about during the podcast episode? In fact, in the full episode, he pulls out the Manscaped lawnmower razor. That's right. Neve, he's known to be one of the hairier dudes out there. His super hairy chest, full facial hair, and he uses Manscaped to trim and groom himself. Manscaped.com. Use our code BEERMILE, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. It is crunch time. It's the holiday gift giving season. Go to manscaped.com and order now. They have all the grooming and trimming products, shower products, hygiene products, boxers, shirts, anything that you need for your gift giving season. Go to manscaped.com now and use code BEERMILE, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. Get it done. Also, if you want that performance package, that Manscaped performance package, along with knockaround sunglasses, Beer Mile swag, and you want it all for free, we are doing a big holiday giveaway, people. It's easy to enter. All you have to do, take 20 seconds. It's free. Go to Apple Podcasts. Go to Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating. Screenshot it. DM us on Instagram, Beer Mile Media. Or you can send it to us via email, podcast@beermile.com, and you will be entered in. We are giving away several $100 worth of stuff to one lucky winner in a big holiday package. I mean, a big holiday package, massive holiday package. And why not give yourself a shot at that? All you have to do, give us a rating, review, share the pod on social media, any of those things, screenshot it, DM us. And for every single one of those that you do, you know, rate us on multiple platforms, you get multiple entries. The more you do to help us promote the pod, the more entries you get. So get those in now. We're going to be drawing a winner here in the next week or so. Best of luck, y'all. All right. That's enough introing here. Let's get into this best of 2022 segment with Neve Schulman, the Catfish TV show host. Cheers, y'all. Running is like one of those things that's like very polarizing in a way where everyone who doesn't run is like, God, running is so stupid. Like, why would you ever want to go out for a run, et cetera? But then like once right. You like get the bug, it's very easy to get hooked and be part of the community and just love, I don't know. Once you like find it for your inner motivation and for yourself, it usually converts people to becoming lifelong, you know, runners or wanting to pursue it.
Also, like, I think, and this is again, sort of what you had pointed out earlier, like, there aren't that many things that I'm good at. You know, I mean, I'm okay at a few things and I have hobbies that I like, but like, I don't excel in any number of things, certainly not physical things. I'm competitive and I like sports and like, you know, get me on a go-track race yeah. I'll do my best. But like when I started running and I realized like I was actually pretty naturally sort of gifted to have the physique and whatever lung capacity that you need, that was exciting to discover something that like I actually liked and was pretty good at. And so to be able to run to train, you know, it was really hard, but to run a sub-3 and feel that accomplishment and that satisfaction, like, wow, I did something really hard that not a lot of people have done. Like that was awesome and exciting. And so to answer your other question, like, so what was really fun about it was that I had been traveling and making catfish and going all over the country. And now I had this thing that I could do every time I went somewhere new to like see a town or explore a city. And that's really what's been, I think, a big factor in kind of keeping me motivated is because, you know, I do travel and, you know, there's a lot of mornings that start later for us because, we fly in and the crew has to set up and they're not allowed to start filming the next day within a certain number of hours of when they finish. So, you know, we may not start till 11 or 12 o'clock the next day. So I've got these long mornings and, you know, there's nothing to necessarily do in these smaller towns. So I'm like, oh, great. I'll go for a run and oh, there's a river a few miles away. I'll like find a trail along the river. Or there are actually a lot of amazing trails and like rails to trails and park like paths that you'd be shocked exist and that are generally completely uninhabited and underutilized. So like, you know, when I go for runs in most places, I don't see other runners. It's sad, but
it's true.
Yeah, it's also kind of cool. You feel like you stumbled upon like a little treasure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That just happened to me last 2 weekends ago. I was in New Jersey, just south of Trenton, which is the capital. Mm-hmm. And I saw that there was a river. It, you know, it's always a sort of a crapshoot. Like when you see a trail, you don't know what that's going to be.
How long it's going to go.
But right. If it's going to. It looked like there maybe was a bridge over. Like, you know, you just don't know. But it turns out it was honestly one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful nature trail I've ever seen. It was perfect, hard packed, like small gravel, really wide, unbelievably clean and manicured, not a piece of trash. And it ran like on this weird sort of, sliver of land banked by like a stream and a river, for 6 or 7 miles. Incredible. Yeah. I mean, it was just so nice. I ended up running 14 miles just cause I didn't want to stop. It was just so nice. So that was cool.
What's it like going into shooting after doing a run like that?
usually at first it's fine. I definitely like crash in the afternoons. Right. So like if I can squeeze a nap in sometimes, like while we're waiting outside of a location and they're setting up, I'll grab a quick like 10 or 15 minute nap. And then, you know, sometimes I'm a little zonked, like we said, you know, earlier. But generally, again, because when I'm on the road, it's also really nice because as much as I love being home with my wife and children, I don't get a ton of sleep. So being able to then just like get in bed and go to and stay in bed till 7 or 8 the next morning is a great sort of way to recover from a longer run. So,
yeah,
7 or 8 is late for me. I'm usually out of bed by 5 with the kids. So,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so you mentioned running as being, you know, something you discovered that you're talented in. I mean, your other big talent is finding catfish on the internet. So, when you're in a typical, I guess, year, as you've been filming the show for many years, you know, how many days a year does it take to film a season? How long are you on the road? Like, what does that structure look like?
We have a sort of unusual production schedule because, unlike most shows that say, okay, we're going to be filming from this day to this day, and we're going to do all 12 or 20 episodes. We schedule our episodes as the stories develop. Right. So we have like a rolling, group of a casting department that's constantly sorting through emails. I get them every day. And they'll reach out, they'll connect, they'll talk to these people. Obviously they'll vet the stories and then they'll have to figure out when those people are free. Can they get off from work? You know, will their parents let them do it? There's so many factors, moving pieces. And so we never know what's going to happen. So right now, like I know I'm filming an episode, next week on like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That could change, or they might say, oh, never mind. The person decided they don't want to do it, but hopefully it won't. And then maybe another episode in June from like the 14th to the something, but like it's all tentative. So I'm always just sort of on standby because they're trying to schedule and there's a lot of moving pieces and we never know when and if it's going to happen. So we kind of just film all year because, we're, always just trying to get the best story and get out there and film it while it's happening. And the nature of the of these shows is that, or these people and their stories, is that like one of them has obviously come to a point in the relationship where they've decided, I don't want to wait around anymore, or I think they're lying to me, or I've had enough. And so they'll write in. And then I think their fuse is kind of short because they're like, okay, I made this decision. I want to do this. So I think it's generally like within a few weeks of their sort of first making contact, and then us, you know, working to put it together, and then all the schedules lining up. And again, like I said, a lot of stories, as I've told, come, you know, get to that sort of home stretch, and then they fall apart because of any number
right.
of reasons.
Right.
So
right.
like when you decide that you're going to do a shoot, how do you kind of set the stage, or at least like stay in sync with, because obviously you decide that you're going to shoot, and then life happens, and like the stories progress while you're not shooting. So what do you, like, how yeah. do you right. stay?
Is
up
it
to
like
date?
Very kind of almost like improv-y on the spot, on like wherever that story, you're picking up on that story, wherever it is, and like just kind of going, taking it, running with it. Like how much of it is pre-planned?
Right. Well, I mean, so my involvement up until we start filming is nothing, because I don't want to
right.
know.
True.
Anything about the people, where we're going. So I get when the episode starts and the camera starts rolling, like you see me finding out everything totally.
Okay. So that's all, that's not scripted or anything that, or like, okay. No. All genuine. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. No, Cammy and I both don't know yeah. anything. And we don't ever shoot anything over. So.
Okay. Yep.
We're just saying what we're saying. What's great though, and part of the sort of structure of how the producers set up the episode is what they'll do is, you know, a day or two before we start filming, they'll have the person who's reached out for help just sort of send an email, the email that we read on the show, so that they're sending like the most sort of up to date synopsis of the relationship. Oh, yeah. They may have been in contact with our producers for a few weeks before, but like the idea is that we want them to feel as though they're genuinely telling us what's happening right now. And we want to get it from them sort of again in real time. So we'll read the email, we'll call them. What you see us doing and asking is like all just curiosity and genuine questions. And then we fly wherever we fly. We don't know anything. I mean, that's what cool. makes the show so fun. And keeps it really interesting for us, is that we're really on a path of discovery and curiosity and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, that's always been like a really important part of the show for me and Max and Cammy as the host, to like really be doing it, not pretending and sort of, you know, like saying, oh, wow, we're going here. Cool. I had no idea. Like, we don't know
yeah,
where we're going.
Yeah.
So it's fun. It makes it more interesting.
Do the guests ever... Yeah. It seems to me like as a guest, if I think I'm getting catfished, right? Like I've watched the show. I used to watch it all the time. It's like, I know how Neve figures out who a catfish is, like, you know, searching for someone on the internet. So are any of the guests are they doing that their own research ahead of time? So like they're coming into it almost like, I guess not acting, but like they're purposely not pursuing right. understanding if they are catfish or not, because they know they're coming on the show and they don't want to like spoil it for themselves, or do they right. come on the show and they do actually know sometimes and they're acting on their end?
Yeah, well, I think we've kind of had versions of both. I mean, I think there's obviously a lot of people who have been in relationships where they did their research and found out they were getting catfish who don't come on the show, right? But I think the people who end up on the show are people who either had some curiosity, did a little bit of research, either found nothing or hit sort of a wall. Cause a lot of the times you don't necessarily get any hits. Or what we hear a lot is started to, or thought about investigating, but felt weird about yeah. it. Thought that maybe it seemed a little creepy and that it would come across as distrustful if the person found out. So there's like a weird, and oftentimes that sort of manipulation comes from the catfish. if and when anyone ever says, like, why can't you video chat me? Or why don't you just send me a picture with you're holding this? And the person's like, oh my God, you don't trust me after everything. I've told you so much about my life. Like, how could you be so hurtful? And then the person says, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. So there's definitely a lot of like gaslighting and reverse psychology that catfish tend to use to keep people from asking True. Questions and doing research. But then there's also, you know, a willful ignorance. I think people don't want to give up a good thing. And if they have this person in their life that makes them feel good and keeps them distracted and happy, why fuck
yeah.
it up?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So I think there's a lot of that.
Yeah, that's
also
a great point. So in your original, you know, your catfish story that you made the documentary about, when you were filming that, I'm curious, were you going into that thinking that that documentary would be like more of a love story, or like, cause you didn't know for sure. Right. So like going into that, like yeah. having the mindset of, and I know your brother as well, you know, filmmaker, actor. So going in with the idea of, we're going to capture this on film, did you know where it was going to go? Did you think that it was going to be a different story than it ultimately ended up being? Like, what was your mindset in filming?
Oh
that?
My God. Well, just to be clear, my brother's not an actor.
Not an actor. Okay.
He's in the documentary.
Okay. Well, right? I know he directed the most recent Paranormal Activities.
Right.
So Wikipedia has it wrong then. I'm going to say that it's their fault. They list actor.
The problem with Wikipedia is that if you appear in a film, it just assumes you're an actor.
Yeah.
Just because he was in the documentary doesn't. Anyway, they kind of think that I'm an actor too.
I see what you
true.
Mean.
Anyway.
Yep.
So first of all, I never really wanted or considered that this sort of funny, weird side project that my brother was kind of making about me and my relationship would ever amount to anything. And if there was anything we kind of all joked it might turn out to be, it was going to be like a funny short film we would show at my wedding with the girl who I had been falling in love with, right? It was like, oh, this will be a cute, funny video we can show at your wedding, you know? And that was kind of the attitude we had all the way up until basically the week we started really filming, which was when we discovered they had lied to me about something else that sort of snowballed into, oh my God, they lied about all these things. And what else are they lying about? So it really was not, I mean, it was very much like a weird side project that my brother and his friend Henry were not giving much attention to. And then all of a sudden they, I think, realized like, oh, this could be interesting. Let's actually spend a week filming this and see where it goes. And then obviously it did get interesting and weird. I still didn't necessarily think it was going to amount to anything. But they really dug into it and spent a year kind of figuring it out and editing it and submitting it to Sundance. And I didn't even know what Sundance was, honestly. If you'd asked me, I would have probably told you I thought it was a dance festival. But sure enough, we got into Sundance and then we went and it was like this hit film at Sundance. And then it sold, which meant it was going to move into, it was going to be in movie theaters. I was like, this is crazy. Who's going to see this? You know what I mean? Like, and I was honestly, I was at that, even at that time, even when I knew it was coming out, I didn't really think I was going to pursue or have any success as in a career in like entertainment. So I'd actually gone out to California to interview with my old boss from BMW Motorcycles, who was then running a dealership out in Riverside, California, which is, it's a big sort of suburb of LA, but it's like far and kind of in the middle of nowhere and there's not a lot going on. Anyway, and I drove out there to meet with him to see if he would give me a job.
Okay.
And I remember he looked at me and he said, Neve, aren't you in this like documentary coming out in a few months?
He's like, why the fuck are you trying
and
to
I
get
like,
a job?
Yeah, but yeah, he's like, what? You don't want to. He's like, I'm not letting you move to Riverside to work here. Like, figure something else out, you know? Anyway, and I'm glad I didn't take that job, but it wasn't offered anyway. So, but yeah, I mean, I never anticipated at any stage of the sort of rise of the catfish experience that it would continue to grow and that I would continue to be a part of it. And now here I am 10 years later, I've still got this show. There's a musical in the works we're excited about.
That sounds amazing.
You know, that's still a ways off, but we're hopeful. And yeah, I'm like, I'm the catfish guy. People roll down their windows and like yell catfish at me on the streets all around the world. It's like so wild.
So at what point, like along the journey, are you like, well, I guess I am the catfish guy, or is that just something that you continuously like you exist in? You're like, oh shit, yeah, like I guess I kind of do this for a living.
Yeah, you're okay. Are you okay just saying like, yeah, I'm the catfish guy, even though you do other stuff too, just like I'm the catfish guy.
Yeah, okay. Totally. I mean, if I could be the catfish guy the rest of my life, like that would be great.
Yeah.
And obviously for not just because I love my job and it's a great job, but also because I am genuinely proud of the show. I think it is a quality program that helps both the people on the show and also people watching, and in some small way, you know, pushes the needle towards compassion and acceptance and self-expression. And I feel like we're doing something good there.
It's hard to do in the reality TV show division.
People seem to agree.
When you first then found out or got the offer to make the TV show, was that intended to be like just a pilot and then go from there? Or like, how has it progressed over the years? Has it been like renewed for, you know, a year at a time, multiple seasons? And like, how is it going forward? How long are you contracted for it?
So I mean, initially the idea to make the show just kind of organically came because people started sending me stories and emails after the movie came out, asking for advice or telling me about something that happened to them. And it became very clear very quickly that there were a lot of other people in the same situation I had been who don't have the means or resources to, you know, get on a plane and go find out. And so we just looked at each other and thought like, maybe we can help them. And maybe we can make a show out of it. And so when, I wasn't that involved in the sort of business side of it, but I think we had an offer from two different networks to do a pilot. MTV apparently was the one that wanted to give us the most kind of creative control over it. And so we made the pilot. And at first it was not very good. The sort of vision that the showrunner and the production company had was a little wonky. And it took a few months in sort of the edit to figure out what the sort of right format was, and how to break up the journey and each segment and where it should start and end. I mean, it was, you know, we had to figure it out. Because unlike the show, the movie, the doc, like, you know, it was a different process. Anyway, but we did. We figured it out. MTV ordered the season one. The show was a hit. I remember being just like so blown away that we got picked up for season two. And then of course, obviously I think it was like the second or third week of the first season was when that whole Manti Te'o controversy came out. So like, here we are, we've got this like, you know, cute little new show on MTV that sure is doing well, but like no one's heard about. And then the head coach for Notre Dame gets on television and says verbatim, Manti Te'o was catfished, which comes from the TV show Catfish, which is on MTV. And like, he could not have given us a better look.
Where were you when you first like heard or saw about that? Like, do you remember getting a text message?
I remember. So Max and I were in London because the show was premiering for the UK MTV and they brought us out there and we were at dinner or something because it was evening. Mm-hmm. And my phone started ringing with numbers I didn't know, like, you know, and I answered one and it was like a reporter from CNN or some like me. I was like, what? Like, and so we obviously had to scramble. And like the next day, I guess, or maybe that night we like live streamed with Anderson Cooper. It was just like, wild. It was so weird. But it was awesome. And then similarly, not that long after that, I remember I was in Los Angeles and I started getting text messages. It was Saturday night. I started getting text messages from my New York friends saying, oh my God, Adam Levine is hosting SNL and they just did a catfish spoof. And I was like, what? You know, like, cause they don't tell you they're going to spoof you. They just do it. So there was Adam Levine playing me, on SNL, which was wild. Anyway, so the whole thing has just been like such a crazy trip. And so for a long time, they would order one season at a time, which was like 20 episodes. And then I remember they ordered at like season 4 or 5, they ordered 40, which was awesome. Crazy. And then I think they did that again. And then after season 6, after Max left, to go on and continue mm-hmm. directing stuff, their season 7 order was 100 episodes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So we're still technically finishing that order of 100. I think we have another 25 or something, and then we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I would do this forever. It's the best job in the world. So if they want to order another 100, great. But we'll see.
Yeah. And then Catfish the Musical will be the next Hamilton, and you just hitting on all cylinders.
I think so.
Maybe.
It might be, honestly.
It could. We also do have a Catfish podcast for people who like to get their content via audio. Check that out. It's you can get anywhere, but it's a Wondery podcast, and it's pretty fun. Basically, we take episodes of the show, we chop them up a little bit, and we use just the audio, and then I kind of fill in and narrate throughout to kind of help paint the picture a little bit more and offer a little bit of kind of background.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yep. Yeah. I think there's a couple of shows that I've started doing podcasts about the show, and even though it's like pretty meta, but I find them fascinating just because you get a little insight into like what actually goes on.
Well, what's cool about the Catfish podcast is that it's essentially just like listening to an episode of the show, which is really interesting in our case, because the show is about relationships that aren't physical and don't involve seeing each other. People who listen to it say it really helps them better understand the sort of emotional connection that the people have, because they're not seeing who they are and what they look like either. And it's kind of just, it lets your imagination kind of feel like similarly fill in the holes the way that I think these people do in their own relationships.
Point. Yeah. It's a very good point.
We've only had one episode of all, we've now filmed over 200, and there's only been one that didn't air. And unfortunately it didn't air because something happened in it that, you know, made it unairable. It was a great episode. It was honestly one of my favorites. So there was just some weird issue after we filmed with one of the people who was in the episode who got into some strange kind of like trouble. And so legally, you know, whatever, it was just like an annoying little legal issue. But it was so sweet. It was this kid from Boston or outside Boston who was, developmentally, challenged. I'm not sure if that's the right, he had a mental disability. Yeah. But he was really sweet and charming and funny, and he was gay and loved meeting guys on the internet, which obviously that combination is potentially troubling, and had previously met a guy online who had come to sort of meet and stay with him, who turned out to be way older than he had said, but his family was so sweet and they ended up letting the guy stay there, but it was a disaster, like very weird. Anyway, he met this guy. Turns out the guy was real. We went to Florida. They were so excited to be with each other. They went on their first date to Disney World. It was so cute. And then we couldn't air it anyway.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Interesting. So
that's it. That's the only big,
That's kind of a wholesome
you
one.
Never heard
yeah,
of.
Yeah, a little bit. Man.
It was.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I'm curious of all the things you've done in your career thus far, like what's been the hardest? So like writing a book, the documentary, the TV show, training for a marathon, Dancing with the Stars, like of those things, what's been the toughest?
Are you still trying to figure out Christmas gifts for the loved ones in your life or even for yourself? Hell, you had a hell of a year. You had a tough year, but you battled through. You got shit done. You deserve a gift too. Well, everybody loves sunglasses. Everybody wears sunglasses. And if you want the best shades in the game that are at an affordable price, look no further than Knockaround Sunglasses. knockaround.com. You can use our code BeerMilePod. That's all one word, BeerMilePod, for 20% off everything. I'm rocking, if you're watching the video version on Spotify, I'm rocking the Mary Janes right here. Amazing casual sunglasses. Or could also be rocking the Fast Lanes when I'm trying to get my sprint on, get my racing on. They're extremely light, extremely comfortable, polarized, great sunglasses for all of your athletic endeavors as well as casual wear. Knockaround.com, use code BeerMilePod for 20% off your entire order.
I probably training for a marathon.
You don't have to say that just because you're on a running podcast. I mean, you can say something else.
I've been very lucky that I've been able to apply my, you know, unique skill set and talents to things that I enjoy, and to have incredible help and support along the way. So, yeah, I wrote a book, but like I had someone help me with that. And yeah, I make this show, but there's dozens of people who do most of the hard work. And yeah, I was on Dancing with the Stars, but like my dance partner, you know, basically pulled me around the stage for 12 weeks. You know, but the running training for a marathon, like that's all you, you know what I mean? Like, no, you can't phone that in. No one else can do it for you. Yes. My coach Roberto, it helped a lot. But like he can't make me run, True. You know, like I have to do it. That was the least fun run of my life. That I remember hating almost every minute of that day. And it wasn't a good day. You know how sometimes you go out and you feel great.
Yeah, everything just flows. Yep.
Not that day. I remember pretty early on, like mile 7 or 8, just looking at me like, oh man, Roberto, like I'm not feeling great.
Yeah.
But we had trained and it was good. That was the day. So it was like, well, we're doing this. And then I remember at mile halfway or fourth, I was just like really not feeling it, you know? But I did it, you know? And so like, even though it was not fun, and that's partly why I'm not necessarily motivated to try and do it again. Because it's way more fun to run a marathon and like enjoy it. There is something, you know, just so satisfying. And I have to say my favorite sort of gift that my wife has ever gotten me was after the marathon. She just got like a really simple gold chain with a little medallion that just says 258-54 on it.
Very cool.
And I love it. It means a lot.
So if you didn't feel great on the day, then just imagine how fast you can go when you do have one of those flow state days.
Well,
you
know, right. Cruising. And imagine if I really trained properly, you know, like instead of just kind of like the bare minimum.
Anyway. I think there's something there.
We'll
fly out with you somewhere and train for a solid training block.
Yep.
Has anyone done a beer marathon? Oh,
we've heard of beer half marathons.
Beer half marathons is 13 beers, 13 miles, one every mile. But I don't think we can condone that in any public forum because that's probably what you would call a, you know, binge drinking. So we're going to stay away from that one. But oh man!
Wow. I mean, I guess you could shrink the serving sizes a bit, right?
Fair.
I mean,
I think that's how you have to. Otherwise, I mean, you. Like 13 beers. Yeah.
Not great, man. Not
great. Well, it doesn't have to be every mile, right? It could be like
every 5K or I don't know.
Yeah, you could do some other interval.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So if you were giving advice to somebody who is like an aspiring creative, if you could call a younger you that, like what would you tell them?
Sure. I think the best advice I've found when asked questions similar to that, at least for just specifically for me. So I've discovered, over the course of my life that I am creative. And I'd like to be involved with and make things, but I'm not generally the one who's like the motivating force. I'm not like necessarily the team leader when it comes to getting through the like harder work nitty gritty of a project. I'm great at having ideas. I'm great at connecting people. I'm great at motivating and showing up, but like, because of my ADHD, like I can't sit down and like put together a spreadsheet or like a, like I'm just not good at that stuff. Or editing is just like takes too long. It's too like, so I found that the key to my success is to identify and engage with super talented people who are good at all those things. Try to be friends with them, try to be around them, try to have something to offer them in terms of, you know, whatever it can be. So for a long time, though I was never a particularly great photographer, I was okay at it. I didn't want to like study and take classes and like learn actually, but I just was like, I can do this. But because I had a nice camera and because I was passionate about it, I found people who needed photographs. So I ended up getting involved with like the dance community and all these young dancers who wanted pictures and videos of their performances. And I just sort of said, okay, cool. Let me do that for you. I'm not going to charge you. I just want to be here. And that exposed me to an incredible world of talent and creativity that made, helped me make connections with people who then would jobs or, you know, introducing me to someone else that I, you know, like, so I guess networking with people, it has always been a big part of what I've used to succeed. And figuring out what I can offer the people that I think have something to offer me. I think is a valuable tool that I've employed over the course of my career. Because you can't really make anything totally on your own. I mean, obviously there are some exceptions, but at some point, if you want to achieve a certain level of success, like you need other people who are good at things that you're not good at. And so figuring out what those things are and who those people are and how you can get in with them and, provide something to them is, I think, a really important part of being successful in any field, but certainly in the creative ones.
I think that's great advice. Being around the people that are doing something that you want to be doing, you know, someone that you can look up to and work with, I think is perfect. So I think that's a great place to leave the listeners. Thanks so much, Niamh. Really appreciate
it. Bye, guys.
Bye. And there you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this best of 2022 episode, highlighting our top segments, most commented, most listened to segments of the year. Hope you enjoyed those. You can listen to the full podcast episode, link in the description. You can also join our big holiday giveaway by heading on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify right now, leaving us a 5-star rating, screenshotting it, DM us proof on Instagram, Beer Mile Media, or you can email us podcast@beermile.com. And if you've already done it, if you've already given us a rating or review, do it again on the other platform or share the Beer Mile podcast out on your social media stories, tweeters, whatever you want to do. DM us proof and we will enter you into the giveaway for several hundred dollars worth of goodies. Thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped and Knock Around. You can also support the show by going to manscaped.com. Use code BEERMILE, all one word, for 20% off and free shipping. Knockaround.com for the best sunglasses in the game. Use code BEERMILEPOD, all one word, for 20% off. This is time. It's crunch time to get those holiday gifts, those Christmas gifts purchased. Head to manscaped.com or knockaround.com now and get her done. If you want more behind the scenes content, more podcasts, the After Dark podcast episodes, head on over to patreon.com/beermile. You can follow us on all of our socials. That's in the description too. Thanks again for a big 2022. Let's make it an even bigger 2023. Cheers, y'all.